Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Pacifica National Board's Audit Committee meeting. It is March 22nd, and the time is now 8:44. Thank you for tuning back in. We have been off for a little while, and as usual, I always make an appeal to you to please donate to the Pacifica National Board. We need you now more than ever because we are in a serious financial crisis. My name is Nia Beriaco, and I was the prior chair and now the convener, and I am going to now, call the meeting to order. I'll do the roll call because we have not yet established a chair pro tem or a secretary pro tem. First is Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
I'm here.
Lisa Davis.
Present.
Jane Gatewood.
Here.
Seth Goldberg.
Present.
Matthew Hallinan. Chandra Hauptman.
Here.
Melinda Eileen-Dong.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Present.
Dutch Merrick.
In attendance.
Mia Turner. Leslie Radford.
I'm here.
Joe Wanzala.
Here.
Donna Warren. Okay, thank you very much. We have established quorum. First, I also have roll call and introduction of members. I would like for each person to go around and introduce him and herself to say what signal area you're from and what you hoped to get out of the audit committee and what you hope to contribute to the audit committee that will benefit the Pacifica Foundation. So I will start with Wesley.
Okay, this is my first time. I'm really not sure what we'll be doing. I'm looking forward to serving, though. I have a good sense of ethics, and I'll be diligently listening and learning. I'm at KPFT in Houston.
Right. Bill Crozier?
Yeah, I'm Bill. I'm from KPFT in Houston, and first time on the audit committee. I'm really concerned about Pacifica finances and what we need to do to help get it in order, and I was concerned that last year it seemed like there were so many other things going on that not much attention was paid to the management letter, and so I'm really hoping that we can address some of those deficiencies this year and put ourselves in. That's all.
Okay. The next person is Lisa Davis. And Bill was KPFT, just in case you didn't write in here. Sorry.
She's not KPFT.
No, Bill Crozier.
Okay.
Greetings, everyone. This is Lisa Davis. I'm from WBAI. I'm a New Jersey listener representative from WBAI, although WBAI is located in New York. I've been on the audit committee now for about 3 years, I think, 3 or 4 years. And what I hope to contribute is to helping to establish, and we have been working toward this, but helping to establish a solid uniform way of reporting our finances, one that has a strong checks and system of checks and balances, and one that runs relatively smoothly and where everything checks out. And I hope to help to be as supportive towards staff in helping to develop that as well.
The next person is Jane Gatewood.
Hi, this is Jane Gatewood from WPFW, and I previously served on the National Finance Committee for 3 years. This is the first time I'll be on the Audit Committee. I'm just looking at the management letter for the first time today. I'm not really sure what all we'll be doing as a committee, but I'm very, very much looking forward to all of us making sure that we've got effective oversight on our financial systems. Thank you.
Oh.
Hello?
That's it for me.
Did we lose Nia?
I don't know. Nia, are you there?
This is Nia Turner. I just called in. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I forgot what time it was. So I'm just calling in. It's my first time being
on. We lose Nia to Bediako.
No.
Okay, we were looking for Nia Bediako, our convener. But
here I am. Here I am.
There?
Yeah, I don't
know. We just got Nia Turner.
Okay. So now we're up to Jane Gatewood. I'm sorry. My cell phone has been misbehaving. So I hope I don't have too many
more. Well, you missed me. I've already had my say.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, Jane. Okay, Seth Goldberg?
Yeah. This is Seth Goldberg. I'm a listener, LSD member from New York, WBAI. I'm very encouraged by the organization I see on the audit committee. My own view of the audit committee is that it should receive all matters that could be financial or serious threats of any kind to the company. And it's a confidential committee that can both report publicly and can receive confidential information as well.
Okay, thank
That's
you,
it.
Seth. Okay, thanks. Next person is, did Matthew join us? Matthew Hellinan? I think he's from KPFA, I don't know. Okay, Chandra Hauptman is next.
Okay, good evening, everyone. It's my first time on the audit committee, and I'm looking forward to helping in any way that I can. Help the auditor implement or make changes that will overcome the deficiencies that he cited at this time. And I don't know how the audit committee works with him, so I'll wait to find that out as I become more familiar with the functioning of the committee. And I'm from KPFA.
Okay, thank you. Melinda Eiley-Dong?
Yes. Oh, and incidentally, I'm so glad to hear Joe Azala is going to be on the call because he's just outstanding as far as I'm concerned. I'm happy also to be back. This is my second year on the audit committee, and I'm excited to be a part of this committee because I really believe that this really is probably the heart of trying to get APFT, I mean, let's say to get the whole network back on track, because you got to know where the books, what the status of the books are, if you're going to basically say, okay, this is the way we organize this whole thing so that we meet those goals and we move toward the forward, you know, forward toward the future so that we can not only remain in business but thrive, hopefully. And so that's why I joined the committee to begin with, was because I wanted to be a part of the solution. I know that there have been a lot of problems. I think there are a lot of wonderful assets at each and every one of our signal areas, and I just hope to be a part of that.
Thank you. Next person is Campbell Johnson.
Hi, I'm from WPFW, and I'm a former banker, and also have been on boards of several nonprofits, and you know, have worked with and for profits, and worked with auditors to a fair extent, and I've really think that you know, we have an opportunity here to do some very important things insofar as ensuring an improvement in management and ensuring that our financials are reflective of reality, and can also, insofar as the systems that we have, help us to move toward greater prosperity in a hurry.
Okay. Thank you, Campbell. Next person is Dutch Merrick.
Hi, nice to meet all of you. It's good to find some like-minded people in the same room, as it were, at one time. I'm with KPFK in Los Angeles. I'm currently the vice chair of our local station board. My background a little bit, I worked on the Dennis Kucinich presidential campaign as a media director and producer, as well as the Ralph Nader campaign. That gives you a feeling for my leanings. I work in the entertainment industry. I also have a certificate through Loyola Marymount University on forming of foundations and nonprofits. I joined this committee because I wanted to offer a fresh set of eyes and kind of get through some of the muck that that seems to get flung around out there. So looking forward to a nice, smooth group working together and helping the auditor, you know, find the glitches in the system so that we can make Pacifica work again and make it strong and grow.
Okay. The next person would be Mia Turner, who joined us later. And Mia, what I'm asking people to do is to introduce themselves, say what signal area they're from, what do you hope to get out of the audit committee, and what contributions are you going to make to help to Pacifica?
Well, this is my first time on the audit committee, and I'm a new member listener of the WPFW LSB, and I hope to bring some fresh insights. I've dealt with budgets before. I don't know exactly all that the committee's doing because, as I said, this is my first time. But I plan to do whatever I can to help to make sure the truth is there and that everyone is treated justly.
Okay. Thank you, Nia. Next person is Leslie Radford.
Yeah. I'm Leslie Radford. I'm a PNB representative from KPFK. I'm on this committee because I really hope that we can find some stability in our finances here. I think that's critical before we can even talk about growth, is that we find that kind of baseline that we can all come from. I also support a lot of transparency, and I think our contributors should have access to good, clean, readable books. In my background, well, let's see, I ran a statewide nonprofit for a few years in my life. I've been on the board here for a couple of years. I also have some expertise in systems and in communication sciences.
Okay, thank you, Leslie. Next person is Joe Wanzala.
Hi, yeah, this is I think my third year on the audit committee, working with Nia and maybe a few others who are still on the committee now. And, yeah, I think I agree with the scope of the work as has been laid out by others already. Certainly the auditor has the management letter has our work cut out for us. And I, you know, plan to essentially do, you know, do what I can to help the committee get its work done. I think we all know what we need to do. In terms of a little bit about my background, or relevant background, I should say, is I have worked in the past as a policy analyst for the state of California, that is the Public Utilities Commission, and as a paralegal for various law firms in California. So that's what I could contribute. That, you know, I can draw from that in terms of what I can contribute professionally. And that's it. Oh, I just also want to say hi to Melinda, and also, but also say that the Joe she's talking about, I don't think is on this call. I'm not that wonderful. So we'll move on.
It's okay. Okay. The next person is Donna Warren. Donna, I didn't hear Donna. Okay. And as I said earlier, my name is Nia Bediako, and I have been the chair for the past three years, and what I hope to continue doing is to help the audit committee to make sure that management has established an effective process for maintaining adequate internal controls and procedures for accurate financial reporting. And I think that's one of the things that the audit committee should be doing. It is hoped this year, right now I'm just a convener, and if elected chair, I would hope that you folks will be the wind beneath my wings and trying to get the Pacifica National Board to understand all the things that I have been trying to tell them last year about what has been going on, and hoping that they will this year listen to what we have to say. And to work on this year's management letter, take it line by line and go through it to make sure that whatever recommendations our auditor has, who is on the line, as a matter of fact, I will introduce him in a minute, to make sure that we take his suggestions very seriously and that through you, I will deliver that message to the Pacifica National Board. And I think that's it. Did anyone else join that I might have missed?
This is Chandra, and when the time is appropriate, as a new person, I'm not familiar with a couple of the things in the management letter, so I'd like to get some clarification.
Okay.
But I can wait on that until you say you want to do that.
That's on the agenda, the discussion with the auditor. That's,
okay.
That's the item that it will be under. And speaking of the auditor, I just merged him in. His name is Tony Pohl from PMB Helen Donovan. And Tony, could you please introduce yourself? Tony? Oh, boy. I am so sorry about that. I'm going to ask, could you please be patient with me? I don't know where he went. Hold on, please. Hold on. Hi, Tony?
Hello?
Yes, I did not merge you, and I'm having some problems with my cell phone, so you missed all those wonderful introductions. So you just have to take my word that they were
okay. Wonderful.
And now it's your turn to introduce yourself.
Good evening, everybody. This is Tony Pohl.
Good evening.
Good evening. Oh, that's it, Tony? Okay.
Okay.
All right. The next item, what we need to do is to elect a chair pro tem. So the floor is opened for nominations for chair pro tem.
I nominate
this is Lisa.
Nia.
I second that nomination for Nia Bediaco.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. And I humbly accept. Are there any other nominations?
Move the nominations be closed.
Hang on, we're going over our notes here.
Okay. I don't know whose voice that was.
I'd like to I'd like to nominate Melinda. This is Dutch.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Melinda Eiley Don has been nominated.
What about the nominated for?
Chair pro
tem. To be the chair pro tem.
Oh, okay.
You accept?
Okay.
Okay. Are there any other nominations?
Move the nominations be closed.
Okay. Someone move the nominations to be closed. Okay. I'll just go around and just call people's names, and you just say Nia or Melinda. Okay? 1 minute. Okay. Wesley,
Nia.
Go for? Okay. Bill Crozier?
Nia.
Lisa Davis?
Nia.
Jane Gatewood?
Nia.
Seth Goldberg?
Nia.
Matthew Hallinan? Chandra Hauptman?
I'd like to pass right now.
Okay. Melinda?
I'm going to shock everybody. I'm going to vote for Nia.
Okay. Bill Johnson?
Nia.
Okay. Dutch Merrick?
I'll go with Melinda and vote for her opponent, Nia.
I didn't hear.
This is unusual.
I
heard
Nia.
Melinda first. Pardon? Dutch?
Just to clarify, that was a vote for Nia. So you couldn't hear what it sounded like.
He said Melinda, correct? Or am I mishearing? Dutch?
Nia.
Dutch said Nia?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I appreciate the confidence. I think Nia did a good job.
Yeah. Leslie Radford?
Nia.
Okay. Joe Wanzala?
Nia, despite Melinda's efforts to try to buy my vote.
Oh, my goodness. You can't
Warren.
Make jokes like that on the audit call with the auditor on it.
Donna Warren? Oh, I left off Nia Turner.
Nia.
Okay. All righty. So
51011 for Nia. And
Point of information?
Yes.
I just want to say this real quickly, and I can get this taken care of with Wesley after the call, but I just saw, because I tried to forward something to him, and it came back. It said undeliverable, so that's why he hasn't received it yet if he's looking for it.
Okay. I will read the agenda out loud anyway, now that I am officially elected chair pro tem. Okay.
Excuse me, before you
register
everybody, I want to
apologize.
Put in my
Go
vote.
Ahead.
I want to put in my vote for Nia.
Yes, I apologize. I you did say you passed.
Who was that? Oh, that's Chandra?
Yes.
You got
okay.
it, Chandra?
I want to put in my vote for Nia.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks so much. 5, 10, 12. So I think it's 12. 12 for Nia.
Sounds like unanimous to me.
Humble it up. Okay. Thank you very much for your confidence on that. The next item is Secretary Pro Tem, and I would like to, does anyone have a nomination? I'd like to nominate someone.
I have a nomination. Campbell?
My landline is ringing. Go ahead, Lisa.
I said Campbell.
Oh, okay.
He sounds so thrilled.
People see me writing all the time, and it's not unusual that I get pinned. But it's okay.
Nomination? Okay. Any other nomination? The Secretary Pro Tem? Oh, Campbell, boy, you have such competition. Everybody has competition for Secretary, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So, did I get a motion to close nomination?
So moved.
Okay.
Who is that, Lisa?
Yes.
And any objections to closing nomination? Okay, hearing none. Campbell Johnson is our Secretary Pro Tem. Okay, thank you very much
thank
for
you,
that.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
I think.
What I have is I have a draft agenda. And I think since some people are having problems, I'll read what's there. And item number 6 is the approved agenda, 10 minutes. Number 7, discussion with auditor, 45 minutes. Number 8, establish committee's work, 20 minutes. 9, give notice for election of permanent chair and secretary, 15 minutes. 10, determine next committee meeting date, 5 minutes. 11, review action items, 10 minutes. And number 12, adjourn by 11 p.m. And just so you guys, I really like to manage the meetings tightly so that we get off the phone and the folks have to go to work. This is not the only thing they have to do in their lives. You know, it should be, but, you know, how dare some of you work, right? So, do I get a motion?
Could I ask a clarifying question or
yes.
maybe propose an amendment?
Go ahead.
Okay, since I've looked at the letter and, you know a little bit about what's going on with the auditor's report, I think number 8 is going to take more than 20 minutes, and I also think that we might be considering a preliminary outline and then see how that goes over, because I would think the scope of our work is so overwhelming that we'd have to take it in pieces.
Motivate. Chandra, don't motivate now. Just tell me how many minutes you want and where do you want it to go.
Okay. I would just propose, can we add 10 minutes, but then we'd have to take away from something else.
Okay. So Chandra made a motion to add 10 minutes to number 8, which is to establish committee's work, to 30 minutes. Is there any objection to that?
Oh, my recommendation is we take it away for give notice, number 9, because I think that'll take 5 minutes.
Right.
Yes, not a problem. Okay.
Madam,
just 1 second, Lisa. There are 2 amendments. So number 9 now becomes 5 minutes, and number 8, Campbell, you have all of this. Will this
yes,
table
I'm
now become 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This is 5 minutes.
I will take both of those. Is there any objections to those two amendments? I'll just take them two at a time. Okay, hearing none. Unanimous consent for that. Okay, great. The next voice I heard was Lisa's voice, I think.
Right. Yeah, I was going to suggest, of course, the audit committee can see whether or not they think this is a good idea. But because this should not take very long, and while we have more people on the line and we don't risk losing anyone, I was going to suggest that we move the setting the committee meeting date further up than number 10, maybe make it after approval of the agenda, since that should just take that shouldn't take very long. We have so many people on the call now.
Okay. So Lisa's suggestion is that number 10 will now become the number 7.
Right.
Push everything down. Correct, Lisa?
Yes. Just to get that out of the way while we have everybody on the call.
Is there any objection to that?
I would like to see it go after the auditor's discussion.
Okay, and I think that's Jane's voice?
Yes.
I'm good with that.
I know, because some of you I met quite a while ago. My memory is pretty good, but sometimes it will fail me.
This is Jane Gatewood. I would ask that we put it as number 8 right after discussion with auditor.
Yeah, I can go with that.
Okay. So you want to withdraw it, Lisa?
Yeah, I'll accept that as a friendly amendment and say for the new number 8.
Okay, new number 8, and I have to keep track of this. Okay. Is there any objection to making the next meeting date our new number 8? Okay, hearing none. Are there any more amendments to the agenda? Going once, twice. Oh, okay. Could I get a motion to approve the agenda, please?
So moved.
As amended. Okay. Any objections? Okay. Hearing none. Okay. So let's go. Number 7. Tony?
Yes,
Paul, the auditor? Tony?
Yes.
Okay.
So good evening, everybody. I guess Nia has sent to everybody the management letter from the audit, which is now in final form.
Tony, this is Bill. Can I mention one thing?
Go ahead, Bill.
Real quick, I want to make sure you know this is a public meeting and it's streamed and archived. Okay.
That has already been discussed with him, Bill Crozier.
Okay, sorry, I came on late. Okay.
Well, prior to the meeting, and this is his second year, so he knows the protocol, not to call a name. What I would like to do, though, Tony, for the purposes of the stream, for people who are listening and don't have access to your report, if you could please read it, and then we'll discuss it after.
I will. Well, it's a lengthy report, but okay. We issued, as a result of the audit, it's our obligation, it's our professional obligation every year to comment when we find deficiencies. And there can be three kinds of deficiencies. A reportable condition, which means, hey, guys, you know, you misfiled this or you didn't quite do this quite right. Or a significant deficiency, which is a weakness that, if allowed to exist, could cause an error to appear in the financial statements. And then finally we have a material weakness. And a material weakness is we define as a significant deficiency or a collection of significant deficiencies that taken together would allow a condition to exist that such that material weaknesses could occur in your financial statements and you would not catch them. And that's what we feel we have here. As I mentioned to you when I met with the audit committee in Washington in January, quite frankly, we believe that your internal controls are atrocious. And I'm not mincing my words. You've got stations that completely act on their own. And let me go through these And I'll go through these bullet points of the items that we came across, and then talk to you about what where we feel the major issues, what we feel is a systemic problem. So let's start with New York. Pledge cards are not controlled or retained, thereby making it impossible to reconcile pledges made to detail into MEMSIS. That in itself is a very significant issue. You don't have any sort of control. They're kept in boxes. They're kept around the place. They're not maintained by program or by the time they were the pledges were made. Personnel are allowed prolonged access, i.e. more than 2 hours, to pledge card details. Another issue, it's a control issue. Once a pledge card is made out, it should be passed over to and locked up. This is an asset. It represents somebody's name, telephone number, address, credit card number. Those need to be controlled. That's just like cash. Payments on fulfilled pledges are not reconciled between the general ledger and MEMSIS. New York does not understand how to use the MEMSIS system. New York does not understand how to use the general ledger system. No fiscal controls over fulfillment inventory. We noticed that, and this is across all stations, every station we went to, you know, fulfillment is a little bit here and a little bit there. And in and of itself, it's not a lot, but when you add it together, it's a significant amount. And there's no controls. And these things walk out, those little cups and mugs or CDs, whatever they can be, they will walk out and they will cost you money, and they are costing you money in the long run. You don't count the inventory. You don't control it, you don't count it. So we never know how much it is on hand at any one time. Pledges that are made are being written off without the appropriate authority. A pledge is an asset. And that's, you know, to have that written off without the appropriate supervisory authority is not a good situation. No collection efforts are made on unpaid pledges. We noticed that unpaid pledges were past due, delinquent, and there was very little effort made to follow up on them. Part of this stems from not understanding how to get the right reports out of the MEMSIS system and find out what's missing, what's delinquent, what hasn't been paid. Personnel files. Personnel files are very weak. They don't contain pay rates. They don't contain all of the information they should have. No formal paid time off policy seems to exist. So people take time. It's very difficult to track when individuals are taking vacation, whether they're taking sick time. Detailed listing of property and equipment does not exist. If I were to walk in today into WBAI and ask to see a listing of fixed assets and ask the station manager to tell me what equipment they've got, he or she could not tell me that. Now, in this day and age of laptop computers and printers and the like, you never know what's walking out the door. Definitely, the next one, business office personnel do not have an adequate working knowledge of MEMSIS and Great Plains. Time and time again, we had to get different stations to help New York personnel generate the reports that were needed and the reports that you and the finance department should be getting on a monthly basis. Nobody knew how to do it. Cash receipts, both cash and check, are not deposited on the same day receipt. We actually observed checks lying around in folders along with credit card pledges that somebody would turn over a piece of a file on desk and say, oh, well, those are those pledges that went missing last month. This actually happened to us while we were doing the audit. You've got a lot of turnover of personnel. So that's New York, Berkeley. Bank accounts are not reconciled on a timely basis. We came across a $350,000 check that should have been deposited over a year ago. It was listed as deposited. It wasn't reconciled. People did not follow up on the reconciliation process. Same kinds of issues over fulfillment inventory. MEMSIS records are not reconciled to the general ledger. Entries to the general ledger are not memorialized as to who prepared them. Cash receipts, Same thing as New York. We saw cash that was not being deposited on a timely basis. Personnel records for part-time and temporary employees do not exist or are incomplete. Detailed listings of property and equipment do not exist. You actually rely on the auditors, which is wrong. We can't be, the auditors cannot be part of your control system. In D.C., WPFW, fiscal controls over fulfillment inventory. This is a very common problem. MEMSIS records not reconciled to the general ledger. This is very pervasive throughout the entire Pacifica Foundation. General ledger entries have no indication as to who prepared them. Cash receipts are not deposited on a timely basis. Similar situation. Fiscal controls over inventory, over property and equipment. Business office personnel are not adequately trained in the use of MEMSIS and the general ledger. And you're not accounting for restricted donations. They're not being recorded properly or monitored. At the national office, we noticed national office personnel send out requests to the various stations for information. Very often those are ignored. You've got inadequate staffing. We believe you've got drastically inadequate staffing at the national office. We don't believe the accounting personnel are properly trained in the use of MEMSIS and general ledger. You're not following the requirements for restricted donations. Investments in bank signature cards have not. We looked at one account, I believe it was Schwab. The last authorized signature was two CFOs ago, and then documentation for restricted contributions. Is another accounting for restricted contributions. So all of these, each of these conditions that I've just outlined represents significant deficiencies. When you take them together, we can look at, say, this organization is out of control. And Nia and I talked about this, this management letter this afternoon, and she asked me, well, what kind of direction can you give us? And the direction I have to give, it's the direction, the finger has to be pointed at the board of directors. The board of directors needs to make its employees accountable. And it's got to tell its employees, we want to see results. We want to see a standardization. We want across all stations. We want to see people trained. We want proper policies and procedures. And if we want the accounting personnel or the personnel in the offices accountable and reportable to the different levels throughout the organization. And if those individuals fail to report, then you're going to be held accountable and have to follow the results of, you know, face the consequences of your inaction. So I guess the strong message is that the audit committee and the board of directors needs to look at its organization and make a decision if it's, because it's got a great organization, but it's falling apart at the seams. Its focus has been elsewhere, and now it's time for it to turn its focus internally, make the executive director accountable, make the chief financial officer accountable, and then make the staff and the people who work for the management accountable to the board of directors or face the consequences of their actions.
Okay. Are you done, Tony?
Yes.
Okay. I know everybody's burning up with questions. So I'll take a stack, and then when that stack has been exhausted, I'll take another stack.
This is Jane.
Okay, so we have Jane. Who else after Jane?
Chandra.
Leslie. Okay, Leslie. Who else? Who was that?
All right.
I heard a male.
It was Dutch. I don't know if I spoke over somebody.
Okay, no problem. I hear you, Dutch. So I have Jane, Chandra, Leslie, and Dutch. Anybody else?
You can put Lisa on the stack at some point in time.
Okay.
This is
all right.
Whoa.
Melinda?
Okay.
You know, I had muted my phone. I'm sorry. This is Campbell. I'd like to be on the stack. Okay, Campbell. I put you after Melinda. Okay. So it's Jane, Chandra, Leslie, Dutch, Lisa, Melinda, Campbell. Okay, Jane. Go ahead.
Hi.
And speak louder, please.
Hi, Tony. I'm from WPFW, and for many years, I know that on the Finance Committee, we were calling for better training of our accounting staff. Our business management manager here obviously did not have training in the Great Plains software, and I'm not sure why that could never happen, and I'm wondering, have you reviewed, are you new as our auditor? Because I have not been privy to the, I haven't been up to date on the audits in the past, so I'm wondering.
This is my second year as your auditor, and quite frankly, my comments, last year was our first year, and so we were still learning. This year, I think we've got a much better handle on what occurred. And substantially, my comments have not wavered from last year, and that is that I believe, you know, it's your stations run independently. They're not. They're part of Pacifica Foundation. And I think the important thing that I want to get across is that there should be no difference in training or expertise or knowledge, that you could pick up somebody from L.A. and put them into New York over the weekend if needed. And they'd be able to go and say, "Yep, well, this is the same bank reconciliation form that we use in L.A., and this is exactly the same way we process pledges when you have a pledge strike." Right now, everybody's doing it differently, and the reason they're doing it differently is because nobody has gotten the training that they need,
right,
as well as not having a standardized accounting policy.
Right, Tony, you're definitely singing the right salt tune. I like this tune, but what I'm wondering is, did previous audit letters identify these same problems? And
I guess
the main question. I'm trying to figure out why these things haven't happened in the past, because there have been many of us calling for it. So I guess
we certainly did mention it last year. Perhaps not as forcefully. But we certainly talked about the need for accountability.
I meant prior to you guys coming on board. I'm guessing you probably saw.
I cannot speak for other accountants.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Jane. The next person is Chandra.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. You talk about, Tony, hi, how do you do, systemic lack of internal control. And I know this is a recommendation, but what I would like to understand is, will you be playing a role throughout the year in helping the audit committee with designing a mechanism for creating these control mechanisms? Would you be recommending people that should be working with us and how we should go about it?
Because I'm sorry, I stepped over you, and I apologize, Chandra. I've already talked to Arlene and Levon about this. The audit manager on this engagement now really has a very, very strong understanding, much better than I do, because she was the one down in the trenches fixing everything. We can certainly work with management and give them a roadmap as to the direction they want to take. I know this is one of Arlene's goals, and I think this is obviously we can't build your. It's up to you to develop your own system of internal controls. We can't do it for you, but we can certainly point you in the right direction, and that's a role that, as the auditor, we'd very typically take.
And you said there's the audit manager at Pacifica in the national office.
The audit manager from my firm. Who's in charge of the staff and the field work.
So that person would be working with us.
Yes.
Okay.
Person and myself also.
Okay.
Because ultimately, I speak for our firm.
Well, that's great.
I'm the representative from our firm, so you know I'm the one that accepts responsibility for this engagement.
The second question
works under my direction.
Okay, thank you. Second question is a very simple one. What does a COSO framework mean?
Oh, Committee on Lord.
it's too
well, can you describe what it is?
Let me tell you, in the 1990s, there was a commission called the Treadway Commission. It was a congressional committee that was formed to look at internal accounting controls in publicly traded organizations. And out of that came COSO, which was, and I'm sorry, I just can't think of the acronym right now, but it deals with safeguards and internal accounting controls. It's so, you know, when we talk about COSO, we're really talking about internal accounting controls. It's this matrix of responsibilities that have to flow through a company. And that's what we believe is really missing out of Pacifica at this point.
So are you suggesting that there is this framework that we can create that has already been designed and then just model after it?
Exactly. And it basically falls into two different areas. It falls into safeguards over assets.
Orange on the call.
And safeguards over liabilities, over financial reporting. Because we found with Enron that there was an issue with, there was an issue in internal control over financial reporting. And COSO addresses both of those areas. Basically, it makes sure that there's controls in place to make sure that information that is captured right up to, you know, as the pledge is made, it flows up into Nemesis, and then that flows up and is checked against what's recorded in the general ledger, and that then flows up into the financial statements that you see on an interim basis and a year-end basis. That's not there right now. That's really missing. And the other part of it is making sure that there's controls over your assets and liabilities, that, you know, cash that's received is properly deposited in the bank. That's not there either. You know, there were controls in place, and part of them worked. And a great example is, and I've used this one in the past with Pacifica, over 14 months ago, you received a check for $350,000, and it was recorded as having received.
Excuse me. It was my understanding that it was $375,000.
Excuse me. There was actually a couple of checks.
Oh, okay.
There were a couple of checks. So you received a check that was recorded as deposited, and an inquiry was made after a couple of months as, why is this amount still showing up as outstanding? Nobody ever followed up. Your controls allowed this to exist for 14 months until we came in and did the audit and said, there's a problem. You've got an issue. You're missing cash. Where is it? And so that's... it's that periodic monitoring of transactions that is not occurring.
Okay, we'll move on. Are you done, Chandra?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Leslie Radford?
Yeah, hi, Tony. It's Leslie. Two questions for you. Good evening. One is, you have singled out four of our units here, and I know an audit is not comprehensive. Would it be fair to say that the other three units are A, fine, B, plagued by the same problems that we find in the other units, or C, you just don't know? That's my first question.
Well, that's a very good question. And yes, Leslie, you're right. We do tend to pick, you know, we can't go out and beat every brick and turn every stone. But what we hope we get is something that's fairly representative. I can tell you that we looked at L.A., we looked at Houston, and we really had no major issues. They were able to provide us with the information.
Okay.
Now, we did notice some weaknesses, but for the most part, they came through and were able to... when we really started digging for information, we were able to get it from them. We weren't able to get it from the other stations.
Did you look at the archives at all?
Well, archives are considered part of the national office. So, yeah, we look at those too.
Yeah.
We can come through, right. So we really didn't have a problem with the archives.
All right. My second question is, perhaps impossible to answer because it's so intertwined. But if you had to pick number of staff training, or procedures and policies to work on exclusively, which one would you go with, or at least which one would you start with?
Number of staff, procedures and policies.
Or staff training.
Staff training. I think I would focus
on... Or something else. Now. I don't want to limit you there, but...
Yeah. You've got the people in place in most of the locations. I suspect that you're understaffed in national office. Because really, national office is corporate. I'm sorry to use that term, but that's that's where all the information flows in. That's where all of the documents and all of the contracts for the lease payments and everything for each station, well, that's where it should be accumulated. You've got an accounts payable clerk and an analyst and a system controller, and now you've got a CFO who's just recently come in from New York. For a size operation like this, if it was a matter of hygiene, where everything was running correctly, I think you'd be probably adequately staffed. Given that I believe you've got a lot of problems that need to be caught up on, I think you're understaffed by at least one person, if not more. However, no matter how many people you get in, if they're not trained, then it doesn't matter. Because Peter can't tell Paul what to do because Peter doesn't know. So they sort of go cap in hand or glove in hand that you need to get the people trained.
And policies and procedures, where does that fall on your list?
That's equally important. Because it's those three things have to happen together. You've got to develop the policy. You've got to get the people who can write the policies and procedures who can then train everybody else in their implementation. So they all three items fit together.
Did I just hear you suggest that we hire somebody to do policies and procedures and training?
No,
come close
no, no, no.
Just
I did not
like
say
that? No? Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Leslie. The next person is Dutch Merrick.
Hi, Tony. Thank you. A couple of quick questions. I know that just recently was handed down, I believe, by the executive director, what they call an FAP, a financial accountability plan or program. Were you involved with that? Are you aware of it?
No, I was not aware of it. I know I'd heard something was being worked on, but I had not seen it yet.
Well, one of the key tenets, as I understand, of that is to sort of centralize deposits and deal with money issues at the stations, because if the stations are mismanaging them, they should just make all their deposits to the national, and then they can redistribute the money accordingly, or right back to the stations. Kickback I'm getting from people, pushback I should say, is that people at KPFK like a decentralized financial system to make sure that when we make our money, our station stays strong, and if another station is just being totally mismanaged and floundering, then we have to correct that station and correct everybody. Do you have a thought on that? Do you have an opinion about that?
Well, yeah, that's a very tough question to answer. I mean, the fact is, whether it's WBAI or WPFW or KPFK or whichever other station, you're all part of Pacifica Foundation. So from one perspective, it makes, to me as an auditor and as an operational person, it makes no difference. Well, maybe some, but it makes no difference which pocket the money goes into, because it goes into the same pair of pants, ultimately. Those funds are available. Now, if you've got restricted monies that are, and I have another client, a national client that's organized, is in several states, receives money locally from those different states for their specific projects and programs. And they like to take those restricted funds and deposit those restricted funds, and it's important because it makes fundraising easier. Than having to send checks into San Francisco, they can deposit them in Washington or wherever the case may be. But you've got to bear in mind that it is the same pair of pants. The better use you can make of the overall organization's resources, excluding those restricted funds, because I firmly believe, and legally, you know, you receive a donation, you're Dutch, I think you're L.A., right?
Yeah, KPFK.
Yeah, so if K receives a donation specifically restricted to K programming, you should control those monies. They should be there because, you know, by law, they're intended for K expenditures. Any other donations to Pacifica Foundation, you know, I think there's a very good argument that can be had that says, you know, they should go to where they make the most use to minimize debt, minimize costs, and get most bang for the buck.
Within our fundraisers, for example, one of the things we do with our fundraisers is if you like show ABC in the morning and you donate money during that time, there's an earmark on that donation that goes to promote that show. Essentially, that show is credited for bringing in money.
Lauren, I'm back.
And shows that bring in less money than, you know, essentially later on maybe they don't benefit from it. They don't get picked up at the end of the season or something along those lines.
You know, that's a valid point. There may be some legalities there, and I'm not sure if I can really comment without looking as to how the how the donation and request is made. You know, if it's like the typical request that's, you know, donate now to help keep Mary Berg on the radio, I don't know whether that would count as restricted funds. Whereas, you know, if you donate to Mary Berg's program and it's not abused for anything else, it's very, very clear. So, you know, while it may be earmarked internally, we really have to look at the wording and how it's put out to see whether or not it would be considered restricted funds.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, thanks, Judge. The next person is Lisa Davis.
Good evening, and Tony Paul is somewhat familiar with me. I just want to say that I'm, you know, my breath is sort of taken away after hearing this report. I can say right now, to hear about all of these internal things going on at WBAI, it, like I said, it gives me great pause, because I know one of the things at WBAI, we had not been getting reports about anything. We didn't even get a chance to review a budget, because that just did not happen. And it's one of the things that, Tony, that you mentioned, and I just want to briefly just correct a moment, that the person who is now CFO, LaVon Williams, who I believe is on the call, she didn't come from New York. Actually, she's from California, but she had been in the position of at least ICFO as of January, and she was doing both positions part-time. And she became full-time CFO, I think, in January of this year, I think, or maybe a little bit toward the end of last year.
I'm sorry, I am on the call. I just said
No, I said you are on the call, right. I just said that.
I'm sorry, okay.
Right, no, but I just wanted to make that brief correction. We had not been getting any kind of reports about what was going on. In fact, the interim executive director had been saying that things were pretty good. That's what I had been hearing. But, you know, that as of this point is neither here nor there. But what I wanted to ask you about, and I wanted to just assure the people, the new people are on this call, that in terms of the audit committee, we really have been working on trying to develop a unified procedure for reporting, for financial reporting. I think that is so critical. And I know that a couple of years back, there was at least a proposal. I thought the National Board had adopted this, but there was a proposal that people worked on, I think from the National Finance Committee and the Audit Committee, to try to develop a unified system of reporting and a policies and procedures manual. Tony, I don't recall if you've said that you were familiar with that, but I guess question. You said you were not familiar with it?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, well then I'm just going to put this forward as an idea, as maybe a way to begin to sort of look at the policies and procedures manual that we had been working with. And I'm not sure if they would address all of the deficiencies, Tony, that you mentioned, but maybe that might be something to begin with, because I know that there had been work done on this, and I can assure you that there's always been conversation about making sure that we wanted to unify certain things, and I had believed that steps were being implemented to do that. And I know it doesn't sound very good to have an auditor. Ideally, in my opinion, the way an audit report should go is if you have pointed out certain deficiencies previously, then we should be hearing something about, oh, well, we see certain things have begun to be implemented. But anyway, I just wanted to say that. But I would propose that we begin with the policy and procedures manual that we have been trying to adopt and implement, and maybe we can work from there and can see what needs to be added or how to enforce some of that.